Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the gospel we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, nor from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. My theme for reflection is more than words, the gospel we live. More than words, the gospel we live. There is something universally awkward and entertaining about watching a toddler try to imitate an adult. Whether it is wobbling in oversized shoes or parroting phrases they only half understand, it is endearing, but never quite the real thing. Sometimes, if we are honest, Christian ministry can look like that. Well-meaning but clumsy, imitative but lacking power. In 1 Thessalonians 2, 1-8, Paul lifts the veil on real gospel ministry, not just what it says, but how it feels, how it costs, and why it matters. His example offers not only pastors and missionaries a model, but every believer a calling to live out the gospel with both courage and tenderness. Paul begins with an emphatic reminder. Our coming to you was not in vain. That is no small claim considering the context. He had just fled persecution in Philippi and faced immediate opposition in Thessalonica. But far from seeing hardship as a sign of failure, Paul sees faithful suffering as a mark of sincerity. His courage to preach the gospel in much conflict is not bravado, it is stewardship. The gospel is not possession, it is his sacred trust. He has been approved by God to be entrusted with it. And so he must not dilute it, decorate it, or weaponize it. He must simply be faithful. What sets Paul apart is not just his boldness, but his motives. His defense against critics is not a PR campaign. It is an appeal to the integrity of his heart. He was not after fame, money, or applause. He was not peddling spiritual flattery or emotional manipulation. He wasn't catering to culture nor weaponizing truth to win arguments. He was not, as some say in parts of West Africa, a man who sells water in the desert only to drink wine alone at night. Instead, he poured himself out. Paul did not just share the gospel, he shared his soul. He loved this young church like a nursing mother loves her child, with affection, patience, and vulnerability. There is something beautiful, even subversive, about Paul using maternal imagery to describe spiritual leadership. He breaks the mold of the detached preacher or authoritarian apostle. He is saying, "I didn't just come to teach you, I came to love you." This kind of service, truthful and tender, doctrinal and deeply personal is the gospel in motion. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, the church is the church only when it exists for others. That is the kind of ministry Paul embodies, and it is the kind of ministry every believer is called into, whether you lead a congregation or a conversation at your kitchen table. The call is the same. Proclaim the gospel with boldness and live it out with sacrificial love. This passage challenges us to consider the tension between truth and love. Do we distort the gospel to make it more palatable, or do we swing the other way and use it like a hammer detached from compassion? Paul shows us the third way, the way of Christ himself. He did not just preach salvation from afar. He moved in, sat with us, wept with us, died for us. That is what makes gospel ministry not merely convincing, but compelling. So let us speak with courage, not cowardice. Let us love with depth, not distance. And let us remember that in God's economy, faithfulness is never wasted. Our work may be quiet, our fruit may be slow, but as Isaiah 55 reminds us, God's word never returns empty. If we steward the gospel with both boldness and gentleness, he will accomplish what he intends. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, are my motivations in serving others rooted more in pleasing people or pleasing God? Number two, how can I offer not just the message of Christ, but also my heart to those I serve? And now our practical exercise. Today, write a note or send a message to someone you serve, whether in your family, your church, or your community. Don't correct them, teach them, or challenge them. Just express genuine affection and gratitude. Let your love for them echo the love of Christ. Gracious Father, you have entrusted us with the priceless gift of the gospel, not to hoard, not to distort, but to live and share in love. Cleanse our motives, strengthen our hands, and soften our hearts. Teach us to speak your truth boldly and to love like you have loved us, deeply, sacrificially, and without fear. Make our lives a witness, not just to your word, but to your wonder. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.